All right, so get this. Imagine you're scrolling through Instagram. You see, like, a super cool selfie. But here's the twist. It was taken by a monkey.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what today's deep dive is all about. It's a really wild case, Naruto versus Slater, a legal battle over, well, a monkey selfie.
A monkey selfie.
I know, right? It sounds crazy, but it raises some seriously interesting questions about copyright law and, animal rights. Like, can a monkey actually own a copyright? Could an animal rights group even step in and, like, sue on the monkey's behalf? It's more than just a cute picture. It gets into this whole debate about authorship and legal standing. And you know how much lawyers love debating about legal standing.
Oh, yeah, always a hot topic.
So, to kind of set the stage for everyone, can you walk us through how this whole monkey selfie thing even started?
Okay, so picture this. 2011, Indonesia, a photographer named David Slater is out in the wild, camera all set up, when all of a sudden, this crested macaque, Naruto, grabs his camera.
No way.
Yes. And he starts taking photos, and bam, he snaps this now famous selfie.
And I'm guessing the selfie blew up online.
Totally, like wildfire. So Slater, he publishes a book with the photos, claims copyright, and then you know who steps in.
Let me guess, PETA.
Bingo. Kieta files a lawsuit in 2015 claiming Naruto is the rightful owner.
Wow, suing on behalf of a monkey. That's bold. So what was their reasoning?
They were basically arguing that because Naruto took the photo, he's the author, and under copyright law, the author owns the copyright. They claim Slater was infringing by, using and making money off the photos.
Makes sense, kinda. So
Yeah.
I'm assuming it didn't exactly go PETA's way.
You're right. The district court dismissed the lawsuit, saying Naruto, as a monkey, lacked the right to sue.
Interesting. Why?
They said he didn't have something called statutory standing. Basically, to sue under a specific law, like the Copyright Act, you need to be specifically included in the law by, Congress. And the Copyright Act uses language like children, widow. It's all human-centric.
So, because the law doesn't mention animals, the monkey couldn't sue, even though he took the photo.
Exactly. And to make their point, they brought up this case, Cetacean Community versus Bush, where a group was trying to sue for whales and dolphins, and the court said, nope, animals can only sue if Congress explicitly says so.
So, dead end for PETA.
Not quite. They decided, okay, we're taking this to the Ninth Circuit, we're appealing. But wait, there's a
Oh,
twist.
there's always a twist.
While they were appealing, PETA and Slater settled out of court.
So, case closed.
You'd think so, but this is where it gets interesting. The Ninth Circuit decided to issue a ruling anyway.
Really? Why?
They felt like this whole thing raised some big legal issues that needed addressing for future cases, like setting a precedent.
So the Ninth Circuit wasn't messing around.
Yeah.
What were the main points they wanted to dig into?
Okay, so they wanted to look at, could a monkey actually sue for copyright? And could PETA act as like a legal guardian for Naruto, like next friend would for a child?
Okay, those are some big questions. So what happened next?
Well, before we jump into their decision, let's break down this whole next friend standing thing because it's kind of fascinating.
Okay, let's do it. I'm ready for more monkey business.
So, next friend standing, it's this idea that if someone can't represent themselves in court, like a child, someone can step in and act on their behalf, like a legal guardian, kind of.
So PETA was basically trying to be Naruto's legal guardian.
Exactly. But there's a catch. You can't just be anyone, you got to prove you have this close relationship with the person you're representing. It's not just a free-for-all.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, what did the Ninth Circuit think about PETA trying to be Naruto's next friend?
Well, let's just say they weren't buying it. The Ninth Circuit was basically like, look, PETA, you haven't really shown us you have this super close relationship with Naruto. And they also pointed out, imagine if anyone could just sue on behalf of any animal. The courts would be a total zoo,
Huh? Yeah, I get it. Chaos. So, no next friend status for PETA. Okay, but what about the bigger question? Like, could a monkey even sue for copyright? What did they say about that?
They actually agreed with the lower court on that one. They said, no, Congress didn't really have monkeys in mind when they wrote the Copyright Act. They were thinking humans, humans, humans.
But didn't PETA and Slater, like, settle this whole thing anyway?
Yeah, they did reach a settlement. Part of the deal was that Slater agreed to donate 25% of any money he makes from the monkey selfies to charities that protect crested macaques, Naruto's species in Indonesia.
Oh, wow, that's kind of cool. So even though Naruto wasn't, like, officially recognized as the owner, his monkey friends still get to benefit.
Exactly. It was a way to sort of find a compromise, acknowledging, the ethical side of things, even if the law didn't quite catch up.
I like that. It's like a win-win. But okay, so the Ninth Circuit ruled against PETA's main arguments. Did this case even matter in the long run? Like, did it actually change anything in copyright law?
It definitely did. One of the judges, Judge N.R. Smith, he wrote this separate opinion, and it really made people think. He agreed with the ruling, but he went even further, saying that if PETA couldn't prove Next Friend's standing, the court shouldn't have even heard the case in the first place.
Whoa, like the whole thing should have been tossed out.
Exactly. He was saying Next Friend's standing isn't just some technicality. It's a fundamental question of, you know, does the court even have the authority to decide this case? And he was pretty tough on PETA. He kind of implied they were using Naruto, you know, to push their agenda.
Ouch, that's got a sting. So even though it didn't change the outcome, this other opinion, it still had a big impact on how we think about Next Friend's standing.
Huge impact. It really raised the bar for anyone trying to use it. Now, you can't just say, oh, I'm representing this person. You got to show a real close connection.
So it's not enough to just have good intentions. You have to have the legal grounds to back it up.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, you know, who gets to speak for those who can't speak for themselves? Animals, AI, anything that maybe doesn't have the legal right to stand up for themselves.
It's a good point. Like, access to justice, it's not always equal for everyone, is it?
Right. That's a huge takeaway. This case, you know, it started with this funny monkey selfie, but it really brought up some deep issues about, like, how our legal system works and how we can make it more fair for everyone.
It's kind of mind-blowing how a simple photo can lead to all these complex questions.
I know, right? It just shows you how the law is always trying to catch up with, well, with everything, with technology, with changing ideas. It's always evolving.
This has been so interesting. So before we move on, any key takeaways for our listeners?
Well, I think the biggest one is statutory interpretation. It matters, like, a lot. The courts really focused on the exact wording of the law, and because animals weren't mentioned in the Copyright Act, that really made the difference.
It all came down to how the law was written.
Yeah, basically. It shows you how important it is for laws to be super clear, to cover all the bases, and to be able to adapt to, you know, new situations, new technologies, all that.
It's like, we need to future-proof our laws.
Exactly. And this case also showed us the limits of Next Friend's standing. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card, you know? You can't just claim to represent someone without a real connection and a solid reason.
So good intentions aren't enough. You got to have the legal stuff figured out.
Right. And it raises these big questions about, like, who has the right to speak for those who can't? Animals, AI, anyone who might not have a voice in the legal system.
It makes you realize that access to justice, it's not always a level playing field.
And that's such an important point. This whole thing started with a monkey selfie, but it's really made us think about how our legal systems can be more fair, more inclusive.
It really is amazing, right? How this whole thing, like, started with this monkey taking a selfie and ended up with us talking about the future of AI and copyright, you know?
It is wild. I think it shows you how the law, it's always like a step behind. We're dealing with stuff now that, I mean, a few years ago, this was all sci-fi, you know?
Totally. But okay, before we get too deep into the AI rabbit hole, let's circle back to, you know, Naruto versus Slater. What are the, like, the key takeaways, the things our listeners should really remember about this whole case?
I think one of the biggest ones is, like, just how much statutory interpretation matters. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the courts really zeroed in on the language of the Copyright Act, and because it didn't say anything about animals having copyright protection, that was kind of the end of the story.
So it really all boiled down to, like, the specific words of the law.
Yeah, pretty much. It shows you how important it is for laws to be, like, crystal clear, to cover every angle, and to be flexible enough to deal with, you know, new stuff that comes up, new technologies, all of that.
We need to make sure our laws are, like, future-proof.
Exactly. And, you know, this case also really showed the limits of, like, Next Friend's standing. It's not this, like, magic bullet, right? You can't just waltz in and say, oh, I'm representing this person or monkey or whatever. You gotta have a real relationship and a good reason.
So good intentions, they're not enough, right?
Yep.
You gotta have the legal stuff all lined up.
Yeah, and it brings up this big question of, well, who gets to speak up for the things that can't speak for themselves, right? Animals, AI, anything that might not have a voice in court.
It makes you think about how, like, access to justice, it's not always the same for everyone.
And that's such an important point. I mean, we started with a monkey selfie, and now we're talking about making sure our legal systems are fair, inclusive, you know, that they work for everyone.
It's kind of mind-blowing how a simple case like this can lead to such big questions,
you know? Yeah, totally. And, you know, the main takeaway here is that even a case that seems pretty straightforward, like a monkey taking a photo, it can uncover all this complexity, and it can raise questions that go way beyond the facts of the case. The monkey selfie is, like, the perfect example of that.
It reminds us that the law, it's always changing, always evolving, and we got to stay informed, you know, and be ready for anything because who knows what's coming next.
Well said. And I mean, who knows what crazy legal challenges are waiting for us as technology keeps pushing the boundaries of, well, of everything. Maybe someday we'll be debating whether an AI can actually own the copyright to its own work.
Now that's a deep dive for another day, right?
Yeah.
But for now, thanks for joining us as we explored this crazy case, this monkey selfie that turned into a conversation about copyright, animal rights, and, you know, the future of the legal system.
It's been a pleasure. And until next time, keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep pushing those legal boundaries, you know?